الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين، يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Like we all study the beautiful lives of those around Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, the great glorious companions around the messenger, the greatest of Allah's creation صلى الله عليه وسلم. Allah give us the tawfiq, the opportunity to learn about those women who were mothers to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were his mothers, they were his mother figures, namely Amina binti Wahab radiallahu anha, his mother who bore him. She was such an individual. From every womb, from all the wombs of every woman in this universe, Allah chose this blessed womb, the womb of Amina. Allahu Akbar. Amnesty, peace, tranquility. Then we have that woman who was named Halima Sa'diya. Allahu Akbar. Hilm, forbearance, compassion, mercy. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the embodiment of that. He brought amnesty to this world. Aman, Amina. He taught humanity compassion and mercy and forbearance. He drank from that chest, the chest of forbearance and mercy, compassion and love. And then his life was a blessing to humanity. That was this woman who spent most of her time, more than any human in this world, she spent more time with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then we have Fatima binti Asad, the wife of Abu Talib, who also saw to the upbringing of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in these few days, Allah give us tawfiq to discuss and learn about these glorious women radiyallahu anhun. After Allah saved the father of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, namely Abdullah, from being sacrificed, Allah saved him and he was ransomed by the camels. His father then took him to Madinah Munawwara. And in this, a woman from the Banu Asad tribe, Asad bin Abdul Uzza tribe, she met him beside the Kaaba and she told him, after she was amazed at the light and the nur of prophethood emanating from his face, she asked him, she bidded him to give him so much of camels in order that he may cohabit with her. But Abdullah refused and he said, أَمَّا الْحَرَامُ فَالْمَمَاتُ دُونَهُ. As far as haram is concerned, I rather die than perpetrate that. And then it happened that Abdul Muttalib chose Amina binti Wahab from the Zuhra clan as the wife of Abdullah. Amina was the best of the women of Quraysh in lineage and in status. One report even mentions that a fortune teller from one of the tribes, Fatima binti Murra al-Khath'amiyya, had also seen Abdullah. And she had also seen, she was a chaste woman, but she saw the nur emanating from the face of Abdullah. She offered herself in marriage to him, but he refused this offer. And Allah Ta'ala chose Amina for this. But it happened that after the marriage was consummated, Abdullah undertook a journey, and in that journey he had passed away. It was as though he had fulfilled his task in this world. He became the means of the greatest of Allah's creation being passed into this world. Because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the beginning, from the time of Adam alayhi salatu wa sallam, right till his father Abdullah, every one of his parents and grandparents and forefathers were pure as far as their innocence is concerned, as far as their purity, as far as their chastity is concerned. Allah Ta'ala had preserved them. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's entire posterity, his entire family and forefathers and tree was totally pure. Anyway, when Abdullah fell ill, he was also buried in this area known at that time as Yathrib, because he, in his illness, he spent time with his family, the Banu Najjar tribe in Medina Munawwara, known at that time as Yathrib. He passed away in that illness and he left behind this wife of his that was widowed. Amina was obviously greatly saddened by the death of Abdullah, her beloved husband, and she mourned his death. She wept bitterly and grieved deeply. This separation was very painful for her. And also she worried about the fetus in her womb that already had become orphaned before his birth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, this was actually the means for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come into this world. But his grandfather loved him so much. His grandfather showed him so much of compassion and love. And even before Amina had given birth to him, she had seen dreams on occasions, giving her glad tidings, strengthening her, encouraging her, and also to seek Allah's protection for the child, and also to name him Muhammad. That's exactly what happened. It was Rabi'ul Awwal. Different views historically, most probably it was the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal, that this great creation of Allah Ta'ala, nay the greatest of Allah's creation, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, was born. That being who became the means of humanity's guidance, that being who came into this world as a means of humanity's enlightenment, to show humanity the path of truth, to guide humanity to Allah's way, to bring light to this world. But he was born in Rabi'ul Awwal. Yes, it has meaning. There's meaning to this. It was spring. This that comes after the cold, the storms, the thunders of the winter, and after the darkness of its clouds. It was in the spring, before the heat of the summer, and before the drought and the changes in nature that come with autumn. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came. This coming at this time had its wisdom. It had wisdom. It was such a dawn, it was such a light that removed the darknesses from the human society. This darkness that had accumulated and had caused humanity to be deviated. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had come to show humanity this path. To such an extent that Amina radiallahu anha said, when I had delivered him, a light came out from me that had illuminated what is in the east and what is in the west. This light even illuminated the palaces and the markets of Syria. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave so much of nur. From the belly of Amina this nur was seen, and she could see the light right till the palaces of Syria. Allahu Akbar. This meant actually that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come to enlighten humanity. Subhanallah, it was such a miraculous event that Amina radiallahu anha felt no pain or hardship or any inconvenience, whether physical or psychological, when giving birth to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She felt no pangs and no difficulty. May Allah make it easy for one and all. But this was through the barakat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who caused takleef to no one. He bore the difficulty on his own, but he didn't give takleef to any one of Allah's creation. He came into this world as a mercy to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. The first woman to actually drink, to suckle Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was a woman by the name of Thuwaiba. She was the freed servant of Abu Lahab. Abu Lahab was Abdullah's brother, meaning the uncle of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's reported that Thuwaiba had actually suckled the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Halima radiallahu anha gives her event. She actually narrates this report, wherein she says, خرجت من بلدها مع زوجها وابن لها صغير. I had left my town with my husband, with my children, and we had come to Makkah Mukarramah. تلتمس الرضعاء. We were actually looking for children to suckle, and through this we would actually be able to earn. And she says, it was a year full of drought. There was nothing for us. The only thing I had was a donkey and a camel, and we traveled on this. But she says that my camel would not give any milk at all. We were suffering such starvation. وَمَا نَنَامُ لَيْلَنَا أَجْمَعْ مِنْ صَبِيِّنَا الَّذِي مَعَنَا مِنْ بُكَائِهِ مِنَ الْجُوعِ. We could not sleep the entire night because of the pangs of hunger of my little child Abdullah. مَا فِي ثَدِّي مَا يُغْنِيهِ وَمَا فِي شَارِفِنَا مَا يُغَذِّيهِ. My chest had nothing to lactate, and our camel had nothing to nourish him with. But we were hoping for Allah's help, and we took this opportunity, and it was the system of Arabia that the children would be handed over and sent to families in the outskirts, so that these children would have a natural upbringing, even better than just the city life. So we traveled, but we were finding difficulty in our travels because of the weakness of our conveyance. We were actually behind the entire caravan. Everyone were far ahead of us. we got to Makkah Mukarramah, like other women with us from our caravan, from the Banu Sa'ad area, which is few legs journey after Taif. When we got to Makkah, we went to interview the families of different children, and every one of us were offered Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but no one accepted him. And the reason was, he was an orphan. فَكُنَّا نَقُولْ يَتِيمْ, an orphan child. So our reason was, through taking care of these children, we would earn handsomely. It would be able to give us some income. وَمَا عَسَىٰ أَن تَصْنَعَ أُمُّهُ وَجَدُّهُ, his mother, his grandfather, we won't get much. It won't be a profitable deal. That's why we refused it. And every woman were offered Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but preferred to take others. And in that, our period in Makkah had elapsed, and we were about to return. So I'm talking to my husband. I said, what do I do? I'm going to go back home empty-handed. My husband is telling me, I said, oh my wife, لا عليك أن تفعلي, that take this child. عسى الله أن يجعل لنا فيه بركة. Don't refuse this child. Allah will bless us. She says, I got that indication from my husband Abu Kabsha, and we went, and I took this child to my chest. فأخذته, I took him. I took him to my chest. وما حملني على أخذه إلا أني لم أجد غيره. And what inspired me to take him was I didn't find any other child. And the other report, interestingly, says that Amina had actually seen a dream that someone from the Banu Sa'ad would actually take Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Halima was from the Banu Sa'ad. And there were others from the Banu Sa'ad as well, but Allah chose Halima. She said, I took this child, I held him to my chest. As soon as I took him to our tent where we were residing and where we had kept our goods, I placed him on my lap, and my chest filled with milk. أَقْبَلَ عَلَيْهِ ثَدِيَايَ بِمَا شَاءَ مِنْ لَبَنْ. He drank and he drank. فَشَرِبَ حَتَّى رَوِي. He was quenched, he was satiated. And then his brother also drank with him. And they both slept that night. وَمَا كُنَّا نَنَامُ مَعَهُ قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ. We had our one child, but we could not sleep. We had many, many sleepless nights because of hunger and pangs of hunger. But it was such, through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was no pangs at all. She speaks of another miraculous event. She says, at times I would give him milk from my chest. He would drink from the one side. I would then offer him the other side, but he would refuse to drink from the other side after he had drank his full from the one, indicating to justice and equality that the other side is his brother's share. Allahu Akbar. Try it with our own children. Try it with our own children. Allahu Akbar. This is that creation of Allah who came to teach humanity justice. Allahu Akbar. In infancy, his life was so just. Allah give us the quality of justice. Allah give us barakah. Halima Sa'diyah opened her chest to love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah gave her so much barakat, to such an extent she says, that night my husband went to look at the camel. It was filled and brimming with milk. She says, فَبِتْنَا بِخَيْرِ لَيْلَى. That was the best night of our life, up till comparing to what happened before, our nights before. But after that, it just got better and better and better. And then when we went home, when we got to our area, Banu Sa'ad, how Allah changed conditions there. Allahu Akbar, my respected listeners. She opened her chest to love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to open our hearts for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. Open our hearts for his sunnah, for his deen, for his beautiful lifestyle, for his beautiful name, for his beautiful teachings. Allah will give us that same barakat. Allah will give us that same barakat. Halima radiallahu anha says that even on our return journey, as we were traveling, my conveyance had superseded the entire caravan. So my friends are saying, and colleagues, Yabnata Abi Dhu'ayb, daughter of Abu Dhu'ayb, what happened? Wait for us. Isn't this the same conveyance of yours? Wasn't this the same feeble old camel? So I would say to them, yes, yes, indeed, it is so. But
Allah, they would say that there's something different about it. There's something different about it. She says, we got to our area, Banu Sa'd, and it was the most droughtful area, an area full of drought and dryness. But Allah made it such that when our flocks would come home, when our sheep would come home, شُبَاعًا لُبَّنًا فَنَحْلِبُ وَنَشْرَبُ, our sheep would come home, our herds would come home filled with milk and nourishment. We would milk it and drink from there. And our neighbors and dwellers in our area, their animals would suffer starvation and lack of nutrition because of the droughts in our area. To such an extent that our people would say to their shepherds, that make sure you graze where the daughter of Abu Dhu'ayb's shepherd grazes. And still, their cattle or their livestock would come home, you know, dry, not even giving them a little bit of milk. This was the barakah that Halima Sa'diyah found. She says, this child grew so well. His period had passed with so much of blessings. وَكَانَ يَشُبُّ شَبَابًا لَا يُشْبِهُ الْغِلْبَانِ. He would grow differently from other children. He was just two, but he looked like a young, vibrant little boy. Now we're returning with him to Makkah Mukarramah, but we're yearning for more of his company, because his company changed our lives. We saw blessings in his life. So we requested his mother, that, oh the mother of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let my child grow a little further in our area. And you know, Makkah has plagues and so forth. We insisted. Amina saw our plea. Her merciful heart did not allow her but to succumb to our request. And she allowed us to take Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam back with us. We returned home to Banu Sa'd, happier than ever that we still have the blessings from above with us. And in that few months passed, when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was seen to some errands with his siblings, and in that they all come rushing into the home. Halima says, screaming, the children came in, that Muhammad has been taken by these men dressed in white, and they put him down and they cut out his stomach. In this, his father was worried, Abu Kabsha. Oh Halima, I'm worried about what happened to this child. Anyway, they rushed out. They find Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam pale. Halima hugs him. His father Abu Kabsha hugs him. What's wrong, my child? Ma laka ya bunay? He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, two men dressed in white came to me. They opened my chest and they looked for something, and I don't know what it was. And then they closed it again. Anyway, we took him into the house and we're discussing. Oh Halima, I'm worried. Something mustn't harm this child. And then they both took Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam back to Makkah Mukarramah. But in this, Amina was perturbed, that I don't mind you brought my child back, but had something happened? What took place that gives you this worry? You wanted him just a few months ago for another entire season, meaning another year. And in this, Amina had realized Halima's reluctance, and she had worried that something had happened. So she says to Halima, that, oh Halima, fear not, this child is protected by Allah. Oh Halima, let me explain to you. When I bore this child, I found no pain at all. And when I gave birth to him, such a nur emanated from my belly that even the palaces of Sham could be seen by me from where I was giving birth to him. Oh Halima, he was so light in my stomach, not causing any inconvenience to me at all. And when he emanated from my body, he raised his head to the sky and he turned to Allah. So Amina is in turn explaining to Halima that fear not, this child is very, very special. You don't have to fear any harm upon this child because he is protected by Allah. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was brought to his mother. She was too happy to have him, and he stayed in her company with that closeness, that bond between mother and child. And as time went on,
she in turn went and took a journey to Medina Munawwara, showing loyalty to her lost husband who had passed away, visiting his grave and visiting family in Medina Munawwara, because she comes from there, from the Banu Zuhra clan, from Medina Munawwara. And in this, she spent time with her family, with little Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and on her return, she fell ill. And there it was, a very, very difficult incident, a very, very great challenge for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to bear, where he lost his mother. This was so hard and so difficult. But there was another woman by his side. And this woman was none other than an Abyssinian young girl by the name of Baraka. Baraka Ummu Ayman. She was left as inheritance for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam by his father. And she took care of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She took him to his grandfather in Makkah. And his grandfather was too happy to welcome him. We will be discussing the beautiful life of Baraka and how she took care of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though he was under Abdul Muttalib. Abdul Muttalib would always say, "Baraka, how is my child? How is my child?" And Abdul Muttalib would show a lot of love to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She used to feed him, take care of him. He knew her as his mother. And after Abdul Muttalib had passed away, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam then went to live with Abu Talib. And the woman who then took care of him was none other than Fatima binti Asad. But just to complete the first discussion, after Halima radiallahu anha passed away, what happened after Amina radiallahu anha passed away? What then happened to Halima? Halima would have always wondered what is happening to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she was amazed when after the battle of Hunain, Makkah Mukarramah was conquered. And Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum took Islam to all the different areas around Makkah Mukarramah. But there was a nation known as the Hawazin tribe. Hawazin. They were as strong as Quraysh. They come from the area near Taif. They were actually the nation of Halima. And what had happened was, this tribe had vied with Quraysh in strength. Now that Quraysh had failed in defeating Islam and the Muslims had conquered Makkah Mukarramah, Hawazin said, "Let them prove themselves." So that's what they did. They came and they attacked the Muslims. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were ready. But there were many new Muslims who had joined the Muslim campaign from Makkah. And they said, "We would never lose because our numbers are so much. Whenever our numbers were less, we always won. Imagine our numbers being sufficient. How then could we lose?" But it happened that at first, because reliance was on number, the Muslims had faced a great setback. And Quran speaks about this. لَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَوَاطِنَ كَثِيرَةٍ وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنَ إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ فَلَمْ تُغْنِ عَنْكُمْ شَيْئًا وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ ثُمَّ وَلَّيْتُمْ مُدْبِرِينَ. Allah has helped you on many occasions. بِمَوَاطِنَ كَثِيرَةً. And even on the day of Hunain, when your numbers affected you, you felt that you would win and become victorious because of number, but they can never avail you in the least, because one Allah is the doer. This was the lesson. And Allah then helped the Muslims. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the senior Sahaba radiallahu anhum remained firm, and Allah helped the Muslims. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam casted sand towards the direction of this tribe, and Allah made it that this affected them, and he called back the Ansar. He instructed Abbas radiallahu anhu, and Abbas radiallahu anhu called the Ansar. They heard the announcement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and from every different direction they returned to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they were always there to serve Allah's deen and make khidmat and protect the deen of Allah ta'ala. But in this, alhamdulillah, the Muslims were victorious after great sacrifices. Alhamdulillah. And in this, the Hawazin nation ran into Taif. But there were Muslims amongst them. And those Muslims come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to plead forgiveness, you know, on behalf of everyone. What had happened was, after the Muslims had conquered, a lot of booty was received from the Hawazin.
because their leader Malik bin Auf had accumulated the entire property, wealth and family, and brought everything to the battlefield, which was a very, very unwise move of his. When Muslims had conquered, everything was taken as booty. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt bad for them, so he kept their goods, and he said that we will not distribute it immediately, because if they embrace Islam, before the booty is distributed amongst the Muslims, it can still be given to these people if they come to secure their wealth to embracing Islam. But they had delayed to come, and then the booty was distributed already. But then some of them come forth and presented these words to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Nabi of Allah, shower your mercies unto us, because the woman who gave milk to you comes from us. أُمْنٌ عَلَى نِسْوَةٍ قَدْ كُنْتَ تَرْضَعُهَا إِذْ فُوكَ يَمْلَأُهُ مِنْ مَحْضِهَا دُرَرُ أُمْنٌ عَلَى نِسْوَةٍ قَدْ كُنْتَ تَرْضَعُهَا وَإِذْ يَزِينُكَ مَا تَأْتِي وَمَا تَذَرُ أُمْنٌ عَلَيْنَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ فِي كَرَمِهِ فَإِنَّكَ الْمَرْءُ نَرُدُوهُ وَنَنْتَظِرُ. O Nabi of Allah, be kind to us. We hope for your mercies. O Nabi of Allah, the woman who suckled you is from our nation. When pearls emanated from her chest to come into your bosom. Obviously, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the greatest of Allah's creation, but he reminds Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of this through these words of poetry. And in this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, definitely, whatever I have taken and my senior sahaba have taken would be given back to you, and we give it to you. It was the new Muslims who were not happy to give back. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged them that I would only return it to them if you all are happy, because it is your right, it is the spoils. And then alhamdulillah, they did give in, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the ikram and so forth. And then one of the women were brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum brought her, and she was saying that I am your messenger's sister. But others didn't believe her, and when she was brought before the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what happened was amazing. This sahabiya, Shima radhiyallahu anha, she comes in front of the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she says that I am your sister. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked for proof of that. So she showed him that I was taking care of you and you were sitting on my lap. وَأَنَا مُتَوَرِّكَتُكَ. I was taking care of you and you bit me here on my back. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam identified that. And he agreed that yes, it was so. And he showed her so much of respect. He removed his shawl and made her sit. And he showed her ikram. And all of them had embraced Islam. And he said that you're welcome to stay with me. إِنْ أَحْبَبْتِ فَعِنْدِي مُحَبَّبَةً مُكَرَّمَةً. Stay by me, loved and respected. And if you want, you stay with your people. She said, O Nabi of Allah, send me back to my people. And Allah's Nabi made her ikram and gave her gifts and gave her servants and gave her, you know, flock and gave her sheep. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made her ikram. We learn from here. This is Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's foster sister and how he shows ikram and izzat. Allah give us tawfiq also to show this izzat and ikram to our sisters. And another great individual, the hero of this incident, of this, you know, segment today, was also brought before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Halima Sa'diya radiallahu anha. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam recognized her. He got up, he took out his shawl, he put it down. He was so happy to see her. Imagine how happy she would have been to see that individual who she had suckled become the greatest of Allah's creation. And then she realized how fortunate she was, how blessed she was through Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She embraced Islam, she changed her life. Nabi sallallahu alaihi showed her so much of respect and izzat. Allah give us tawfiq to show respect to our mothers. Allah give us tawfiq to show respect to our seniors. This is part of our deen. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man akrama shaykhan li sinnihi qayyadallahu lahu man yukrimuhu 'inda sinnihi." He who shows respect to the elderly for their age, Allah will bring people who will make their ikram at their age. When your age is of advanced, and when you are old and weak and feeble. Allah will bring special people to make your ikram, just through the barakat of ikram. From here we learn, never, you know, snub the elderly, never look down upon them, never refute their opinions, ponder over these opinions, respect their opinions, welcome their opinions, deliberate over it and learn from it. They paid the school fees, they went through the experience, went through life. Hazrat Maulana Harun Abbas Umar Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, very senior alim, he mentioned so beautifully that any town he goes to, and he encourages us to do the same, that we should look and search for the elderly of the town and take out time just to visit them and take their du'as and make their ikram. What a beautiful practice. What a beautiful sunnah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to visit the elderly and make the ikram of the elderly. So Allah give us tawfiq to make this part and parcel of our life, that we make ikram and we show izzat, we show mercy to the young, and we show respect to the elderly. And the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says this, that that person who has grown, you know, white hair in Islam, Allah feels shy to punish that person. Now imagine how much of respect we should show the elderly also. This is part of our deen. And the one who does not show respect, it's indicated in the hadith to the scholars and to the bearers of the Quran Kareem and to those of advanced age, there's warning in that regard in the hadith that they are not from us. So Allah give us tawfiq to practice this beautiful sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah give us tawfiq to emulate the beautiful lifestyles of those women who bore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and took care of him. So what we can do, we take care of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we take care of the beautiful deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And like Halima Saadiyah opened her chest to the beloved Nabi of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah blessed her entire life. Allah blessed her. We also can open our chest to the beautiful sunnah of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She opened her chest for the orphan child Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when no one wanted to take him. What a jackpot it was. Jackpot is not even a word. If we're going to open our chest and our bosoms to this beautiful deen in an age and a time that humanity has deserted this deen, no one wants this deen. If we're going to take this deen to heart and make this deen our priority, what levels Allah will make us reach. Allah will make us prosper and triumph and succeed in this world and the next. So this is what we need to do. So just to recap, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's foster brothers and sisters were Abdullah bin Harith, because his foster father was Abu Kabsha Harith, Anisa bint al-Harith, Judama bint al-Harith, and she was known as Shima. Shima and Shayma, both Shima preferred, and she used to take care of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These were the children of Halima Saadiyah radiallahu anha. And there were others also who also suckled from the same foster mothers that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam suckled from, like Hamza radiallahu anhu. He also suckled in the Banu Sa'd area, and his mother, foster mother, one day suckled Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Abu Sufyan bin Harith as well was also a foster brother of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.